May my words and our thoughts be in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Does the idea of Lent fill you with foreboding? Does this day, the beginning of the six-week Lenten fast, seem a day of wrath and doom? Or might we be able to see it instead as a day suffused with a gentle but glorious light, a day full of promise and hope, of quiet joy? I should like to suggest what might make the difference for us between foreboding and hope, between gloom and joy. But first, we must establish a base of common understanding. This should not be difficult. Her Majesty the Queen, in her Christmas broadcast a couple of months ago, put the idea succinctly. So I quote her words. "Although we are capable of great acts of kindness," the Queen said, "history teaches us that we sometimes need saving from ourselves, from our recklessness or our greed. God sent into the world a unique person, neither a philosopher nor a general, important though they are, but a savior with the power to forgive." Her Majesty went on, "Forgiveness lies at the heart of the Christian faith. It can heal broken families, it can restore friendships, and it can reconcile divided communities. It is in forgiveness that we feel the power of God's love." As so often in her Christmas broadcasts, the Queen spoke simply from the heart of her own deep Christian faith. We are indeed capable of great acts of kindness. We are made in the image of the God of love. But somehow that image is easily obscured within us and overlaid by the greed and recklessness to which the Queen referred, what we might call a fundamental selfishness, where self-interest too readily prevails over the interests of other people, even those we love. It may be that we could think of this selfishness as the survival instinct, what's enabled us to prevail in the evolutionary battle. The Church, though, recognizes this as sin, the original sin, the root cause, the origin of all sin, the putting of ourselves and our own needs first. This deeply rooted basic instinct, this original sin, is hard to uproot, is not easily eradicated. Lent is the time of the Church's year when we think most about our sin, our selfishness. I suggest that Lent could be a time of gloom if we were to think of the 6 weeks of Lent as a time when we need to work hard to eradicate our sin and to earn God's forgiveness. For quite simply, that is beyond our own strength to do. No amount of fasting, no amount of work for others, no amount of financial generosity can earn us God's forgiveness, can eradicate our root sin, our selfishness. In a few minutes, during the Liturgy of Penitence, while you're invited to come forward for the imposition of ashes, to have the mark of ash on your forehead as a sign of repentance, the choir will be singing the 51st Psalm, the Miserere, in the setting by the 17th century Italian composer Gregorio Allegri, originally intended for performance exclusively by the Sistine Chapel Choir during the night service of Tenebrae during Holy Week. The Abbey Choir will sing the psalm in Latin, and you're able to follow the words in Latin and in an English translation. I draw your attention to the words about halfway through the psalm. "Cor mundum crea in me, Domine Deus, et spiritum rectum innova in visceribus meis." The unfamiliar but broadly accurate translation in our order of service is, "Create a clean heart within me, God, and renew an upright spirit within my limbs. The viscera or viscera are usually thought of less as limbs than as organs, inward parts. So we might as well say, with Coverdale's translation in the Book of Common Prayer, make me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. It's God's work. God alone can forgive sins. God alone can make in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. And God will, and God does. If we can come to understand that and turn to God with true repentance, asking his forgiveness, then Lent this year will not be a time of gloom and doom, but a time suffused with a gentle but glorious light, full of promise and hope, of quiet joy. Our gospel reading today offers us encouragement. It is a somewhat mysterious story. Biblical commentators think it's likely alien to St. John's Gospel. They imagine that the early compilers of the New Testament had some hesitation about it. Perhaps they were unhappy that it seemed to suggest that our Lord might condone the sin of the adulterous woman. Jesus doesn't condemn, but nor does he condone. Neither do I condemn you, he says, go your way, and from now on do not sin again. Do not sin again. He can forgive because he himself bears the pain, carries the cost, the true cost of our sin. St. Peter in his first epistle put it this way, Jesus himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that free from sins, we might live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. So echoing in our minds, we hear our Lord's words, go your way. But we must also hear the words, do not sin again. That's why Lent can be a time of gentle joy, but cannot be a time of unrestrained joy. We should see it as a time of training. Originally, it was a time of preparation of candidates for their baptism and confirmation, and so it still is for some. I look forward to baptizing at the feast of the Paschal Vigil. Thus, the Church has come to think of Lent as a time of preparation for Easter. During the week after Easter, we shall hear one of the most sublime of all the stories in the Gospels, the story of the two disciples walking on the road to Emmaus, unaware of the resurrection and full of gloom at the death of their master. He joins them, although they fail to recognize him. Jesus says to them, oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? The message is clear. No glory without suffering. No Easter without Lent. No celebration without the preparatory fast. But our fast is no time of desperate scrambling endeavor. Yes, we take seriously the need to open our hearts and lives to God, that he might beat down in us our weak and willful selfish spirit, to make me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. So we must be scrupulous in exercising restraint and self-discipline, remembering the words of St. Paul, do you not know that in a race the runners all compete, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win it. Athletes exercise self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable garland, apposite in this Olympic year, but we an imperishable one. So, St. Paul says, I do not run aimlessly, nor do I box as though beating the air, but I punish my body and enslave it so that after proclaiming to others, I myself should not be disqualified. But let us do all this with a joyful spirit, let there be time and space for God this Lent. Let go. Let God. Amen.